This interview and the entire Real Men Connect podcast is brought to you by Ministry Men of Influence, the first ever men's only Christian mastermind group for aspiring speakers, writers, podcasters, coaches, and course creators. So if you're looking to turn your God-given passion into a full-time profession, but you need help and don't know where to start, just go to mensministry.org for details. That's ministrymen, M-E-N.org. Are you ready to cheat on your wife? No, I'm not talking about that kind of cheating. I'm talking about gaining an unfair advantage on how to understand your wife better, love her deeper, avoid unnecessary arguments, and even have more sex with her. That's right. Based on the success of our Marriage Secrets for Men boot camps, we're finally sharing the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men with the public. This is the quick reference must-have go-to guide for husbands and wannabe husbands that can help stack the odds in your favor. The Bible tells us to live with our wives in an understanding way. Well, the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men is your shortcut to doing that. So you'll learn four questions you can ask your wife in every argument to avoid future arguments. You'll learn the 45 questions you can ask her to learn and master her heart. 50 ways to love your wife better. 6 things you can say to her to manage her response before you damage her emotions. 10 things you can do right now that will lead to more sex. 8 ways to get her to stop ignoring you. Even 49 ways to have more meaningful conversations with your wife and much, much more. See, this is the manual every divorced man wishes he had before he got married. Well, at least I did. And I'm so God confident that the Marriage Cheat Sheet will become one of the most valuable referred to resources in your marriage library that if you don't think so, just send it back for a full refund. Trust me, next to our Marriage Secrets for Men bootcamp, this will be the second best investment you will ever make in your marriage. Now, to get your copy of the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men on sale for a limited time only, just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the store button. That's realmenconnect.com.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith. And we talk to them about what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. Today we have with us Kevin Bullard, along with his wife, Cetilia, are the founders of Marriage Works, an organization based out of McKinney, Texas, where Kevin serves as the president. Marriage Works was created to help good couples to make better decisions when it comes to their relationship. Kevin has served as a pastor for 5 years and as an associate pastor for 10 years. He and Cetilia have been married for 16 years, and they have 3 children, Max, Caitlin, and Curia Joy. And I'm hoping I'm saying Curia's name right.
Yeah.
I met Kevin through a mutual friend, Jackie Bledsoe. And if you guys haven't listened to his episode, please make sure you do that. He also appeared on our podcast. And after talking to Kevin for about maybe an hour on the phone, I forgot how long ago it was, Kevin, but maybe about a month or two. But I knew I needed to have him on the show. And I asked Kevin to join us today to talk to us about a topic that most men struggle with, and that's talking to our wives about our struggles. And I can't wait to dig into it with him. So with that being said, I want you guys to join me in welcoming Kevin Bullard to the Real Men Connect podcast. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you, Dr. Joe. I appreciate that.
And Kevin, I tell you, man, this is a topic that a lot of men, I know, and you probably get it a lot being in ministry, that men complain about. They have a desire to connect with their wives, be able to share from their heart. But a lot of times, you know, it's sort of like what Jack Nicholson said about in that Few Good Men, I don't think they can handle the truth. And we want to be honest with our wives, but I know that there's a better way that we can do that without isolating ourselves and hiding and keeping the truth, or only telling the truth parts that we want to tell. Right. And so I can't wait to dive into that topic with you. And Kevin, but I always start the show by asking our guests their favorite Bible verse and what gives them inspiration from the word of the Lord. So what's your favorite Bible verse as a man?
It would be Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I just felt like more than once I have been in what one supervisor of mine used to call deep yogurt. And I've needed the Lord to help me, to help get rid of the fear, and just a reminder that He'll help me has been so good over the years. So.
And Kevin, I appreciate you sharing that particular verse. And I'm sure that over the years, it's probably become your foundational phrase. I tell people, I love the Word of God because, you know, there's so much meat in the Bible, but everyone kind of clings to that one thing that right. they tend to be their go-to phrase and their go-to scripture. So I'm glad to hear that one is yours. Now, I intentionally, Kevin, did not give a lot of information in your bio because we've talked before prior to this call, I guess it was maybe a couple of months ago, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of share your story. But to say that your family didn't come from a legacy of successful marriages is an understatement. And so could you elaborate a little on that for us and tell us how that your story inspired you and your wife to launch Marriage Works?
Okay. Well, as you noted, marriages in my family just by and large have not been too good. I think back very quickly to my dad's marriage. When my dad was growing up, my dad and his mom and dad, my father just told me yesterday that they were actually trying to run his dad off.
Wow.
Just because he just wasn't a good father, and perhaps he never learned how. My mom didn't grow up in a house with her dad because he got killed when he was young. So neither one of my parents really saw a stable marriage. And then my parents got married and just different things happened. And all these years later, my dad's been married, three times. My mom's on her second marriage. And with Cecilia's mom and dad, their marriage ended pretty early in her life. And so neither one of us really saw dynamic marriages. And while we never set out to create Marriage Works, we both really had an appetite to make our marriage work. And it's just kind of what it's morphed into as we've worked with couples over the years and just really cared a lot about our own marriage.
You know, and Kevin, we're going to talk about talking to our wives as men, but I want to dig a little bit more into your story because I want to give it some context that our listeners can better appreciate your journey, because looking at the legacy that was left for you guys in your marriage, obviously doesn't seem to be a good foundation in which you guys can build on. So I want you to fill in some of the missing pieces. What happened with you and Cecilia that you guys were able to overcome that? Because a lot of couples don't. I struggled with overcoming that and ended in divorce. And you guys have been able to weather that storm. So kind of give me both a little bit of both of your journeys, how you guys were able to overcome that past in order to get together to build a foundation. And now you're rewriting history. Now you're leaving a new legacy for your family.
Certainly. I'll start with Cecilia. One of her big things is she came from a big family, and she still carries scars to this day of having to live with one set of grandparents during the week, another set of grandparents on the weekend, and not really having much of a relationship with her dad. I mean, she's seen him four times in her life.
Wow.
And her mother, her relationship with her mother, I mean, there's one there, is it could be stronger. And so part of that was Cecilia says, I want to be the mother who's there for my kids. I want to ensure that my kids have a place where they know that they're wanted and accepted by their parents. And so that obviously just lends itself to marriage. With me, my parents were together for the majority of my life. I think it was when I was a freshman in college when they split up. And even though I was older, I still took that pretty hard, even though I was no longer living with them. It hit my brother even harder because he was having to play sides there in town with my mom and my dad. And one of the things that we did to start overcoming it was, before we even got married, we started going to marriage conferences. And this is when we were singles. And there was just so much to learn. Fortunately, we went to a church where single folks were not discouraged from attending married-only events. Mm-hmm. And so before we got married, we spent 3 years going to conferences and learning how to be married. And both of us kind of have this old soul, so we've always been attracted to folks who are 15, 20, 25, 30 years older than us. Mm-hmm. And so we asked a lot of questions, and we observed a lot. And when we got married, it really felt like we had spent 3 years building this great foundation as singles, and then we went through marriage counseling. And then our first year being married, we spent the first 12 months going through post-marriage counseling, or post-wedding marriage counseling, mm-hmm. if you will. And so by the time we had been together for 4 years, we'd spent 4 years learning how to be married, but I had only been married a year of that, so it was very helpful to us.
Now, I got to tell you, Kevin, I am super impressed with that, because I just hear the total opposite a lot of times when it comes to couples, especially given their background and their past, that they know what they don't want. Sure. They look at their parents and the roles that their mom and dad played, or the marriage, say, I do not want that kind of marriage. I know I don't want to become that kind of parent. And the only problem with that philosophy is that you see what you don't want, but you don't know how to create what you do want. And so when you first initially said that, that's what I was thinking. I said, okay, now you guys both saw what you didn't want. So how did you figure out what you do want and what you need for your marriage? And I put down here in my notes that you started going to a conference. You went to conferences for 3 years. And I often try to coach, especially men, on that you need to go through what I call the seasons of life with a person. I'm not saying that people can't get married quickly, but just in using wisdom and discernment, that you want to see a person go through all the changes in life. And typically we understand the happiness part, but you want to see them go through loss, anger, fear, or right. whatever, discouragement, to see how what they decide to lean on is their faith, or if they have any faith at all. So I'm impressed that you guys went to the conference for 3 years. But something you said just stood out to me, and I've never heard it. You said you had premarital counseling, but you had post-wedding counseling. Yeah, and I know that's not what the show is about, because we're going to get to the questions about how to deal with us sharing with our wives. But kind of give us a snapshot of what is post-wedding counseling consist of?
What it consisted of for us and everyone who I officiate their wedding, I give them this opportunity to come back to me. Let's keep talking. You know, you can talk about all the hot topics before you get married. And particularly if you're not living together, and as I've seen recently, even if you are living together, you approach them one way before you get married. Mm-hmm. But after you get married, those same topics take on a whole new meaning. Oh, it's yeah. almost kind of like you can take driver education before you get your license, but after you're out there on the road by yourself.
On the 405 in L.A.?
It's same material, but it's yeah. a different perspective yeah. now, because you're just receiving it differently. You're in a different place. And so these same concepts, I mean, before you get married, there are certain concepts that you absolutely are interested in. And there may be some of the other things that you just kind of push to the side. But after you get married and you're living with somebody and you're seeing them day in, day out, and you're experiencing their attitude, and you're experiencing the morning breath, and you're experiencing yeah. the different expectations and what they said was going to be the case, but maybe not necessarily be the case, then these other things start to matter again, and we've seen this over and over. So for us, we would go to a couple's house for a couple hours once a month, sometimes twice a month, and we just did life with them. And this is the same thing that I've offered to everyone whose wedding I've officiated. And sadly, I've only had a few people take me up on it, but the folks who have a stronger marriage, because you just need it. Folks wait until they get in trouble
right,
and start
right,
getting right. some help. The best time to get help is before there's trouble.
Kevin, I love it, man. I'm going to start using that and sharing that with the people that I talk to, because I've never really seen that emphasized. We know that we need to be in community with other couples, but you're talking about doing with an intentionality right after you get married. And typically, I know there's probably not a definite time frame on it, but when you and Satilia went through this process of the post-wedding counseling, how long was that period before you kind of said, okay, now we have our feet underneath us, we can do this now? How long did you guys continue to do that?
We did it for a year.
For a year? Okay. Yeah. And would that be something that you would recommend for probably at least a year with? And how many couples did you guys do that with? Just one?
We did it with one couple. And I don't even really know how it happened.
Maybe it just kind of happened.
We did it. But it was so good. It was so good. But I say a year. I love working with newlyweds. The first 6 to 9 months is usually that's when I like to call the wet cement phase of marriage, because the prints you put into your marriage the first 6 to 9 months are likely what's going to show up years down the road. And so you do post-marriage, post-wedding counseling or coaching 6 to 12 months would be perfect.
And did you guys do that kind of knowingly, or kind of like it just kind of evolved in that because you were around? You said, I love that you mentioned that you guys hung around older people. I'm kind of like an old soul. Even when I was a kid, I love being around older people and just sitting at their feet and listening to them. So did it kind of just kind of evolve naturally into post-wedding counseling, or something that you say you guys talked about together? So, you know what, baby, we need to do this.
That's honestly the part I don't recall. Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't remember sitting down with Satie and saying we should do this. I think it was just a couple offered us an opportunity to do life with them and to talk about marriage stuff. And it was a couple that we trusted and appreciated. And so,
yeah, you know, cause, I mean, this topic is fascinating to me. I know we're going to get to the other topic because I'm now going to be intentional about recommending this to couples because I've never done that before. I'm always just telling them, oh, you need some friends who are married who, you know, you can learn. But I love the intentionality behind it. And how often did you guys do this? Was it once a week, once a month? How often?
It was at least once a month.
Once a month. Okay. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, I'm going to use this. This is great. This is great. Now, let's get off that. Okay. And get on to the topic that we actually brought you on the show for. And that's talking to our wives about our struggles. Now, Kevin, I'll kind of set the stage for you. Typically, especially I work with a lot of young people, but I say this to older people too. I said, you don't really know a person. Now, you may think you know them. You may know about them, but you don't really know a person until you know three things about them. This is just my philosophy. That's one, their secrets. Okay. The things that I tell, they say, what, Joe, the secret is so broad. What is the secret? I says, the reason why you couldn't run for president, that secret. I said, not everybody's going to know that, but somebody in your inner circle needs to know that about you, your secrets. And I also mentioned your scars, things that have happened to you in your past that you had no responsibility for. I didn't ask for my parents to get divorced. And based on your past and Satilia's past, you guys didn't ask for the dysfunctional marriages that you guys were exposed to. So those will be considered scars that we have to know that about a person before we really know them. And the last one is what we're going to talk about today, which is their struggles. And when I talk about struggles, and I know this is what our men are going through, when I mention struggles, I'm talking about our fears, doubts, and insecurities. And we have a hard enough time talking about it to our boys. And we have even a more difficult time when it comes to letting a woman in on the thing that we're afraid of, the thing that we feel insecure about, or the thing that really gets us in a not being our best self. So that's the context in which I'm having you come in today to talk about how do we get men in to start talking about these things. So give us some foundational stuff before we dive deep into any particular issues. What do you typically tell men about the process of starting to communicate? One, let's start with why it's so important, and then we'll get into the how, and we'll kind of go from there.
All right. This is not an easy topic ever to talk about with men, just because they're like, dude, are you stupid? So why? What? Why? Here's the reason why. If your marriage is going to grow, and growth is self-defined. I mean, I can give you some definitions, but however you think about as a husband, if your marriage growing and being a good environment for you and for your wife, for that to happen, there's going to have to be some emotional bonding, some type of emotional intimacy. And by emotional intimacy, I'm talking about where you feel close enough to your wife to talk to her, and she feels close enough to you to talk to you about, I like that, these secrets, these scars, and these struggles. So that's why it's so important. Without that emotional intimacy really acting as like a fertilizer to the marriage, you're going to be roommates at best. You may be good sex partners, you may be good co-parents, you may be good roommates, but in terms of having an intimate relationship with one another, the emotional intimacy where you feel comfortable enough and vulnerable enough to expose who you really are, without fear of reprisal or pushback, you're going to have to develop that bond. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense, Kevin. And that's a great starting off point before we get into some specific strategies and ideas that you can suggest. But dealing with men the way you have, and your wife has dealt with couples as well with you, why do you think men struggle so much talking about their struggles, period, let alone to their wives? Why do we struggle so much as men talking about it?
I think part of the reason we struggle so much talking about it is because I think part of it's just the way we're wired. Men are, we segment things pretty well. I think about a man's brain's kind of like an ice cube tray where every part has its own little compartment versus like a woman's mind where it's more like a mixing bowl and everything's in there all together. Part of the thing is something happens, we have a traumatic incident, and we move on forward. And part of that is just physiology. That's how we're made. We segment things in our mind. I think another part of it is, and I think our society has just, and it just really reinforced this over the years, well, strong men don't talk. Back when I was a kid, there was a Marlboro man who used to be in the ads, and you've got this really rugged-looking Westerner, and you know, he's a tough guy, doesn't say much, and that's what's accepted. I think another reason is we tend to, I think, not only punish men for sharing their feelings, but I think we also just say that men who share their feelings are effeminate. We can just really say that you're not a real man because you've got an emotional side. Well, good God, all of us have an emotional side. It's just men aren't encouraged to share.
Now, obviously, there's physiology. We're kind of wired a certain way to be bent that way. And before we get into some of the specifics, based on your experience, what seems to be some of the topics, particular topics that men tend to shy away from? Obviously, we have a problem talking with a lot of different areas. But what seems to be the topics that we most struggle with in bringing up to our wives?
I think when it comes to other women, just the fact that you know, if we're attracted to somebody or we think that we're starting to develop some feelings for somebody, I mean, that's one's just like below the line. You're not talking about that. I think if there are any issues that have to do with us not being able to perform sexually, even if she's going to find that out pretty quickly, right?
Right.
That's one that we don't want to talk about. Anything that has to do with our health, we don't really want to talk about that. Anything that has to do with finances, we don't really want to talk about that. And here's the reason why. All of those things tend to strip away our manliness, or we lose our man card if at any point we are not able to perform sexually, or if we want to be vulnerable and say, well, you know what, so-and-so, I'm attracted to so-and-so, or I'm having this problem at work, or I found out I've got this health issue going on. All those things just seem to really strike at the core of what being a man is all about, which is, I don't need anybody, I've got everything together, I'm completely self-sufficient.
So now let's get right into it now, Kevin. Where can we start? Let's see if we can reach that man out there who, because we've all been through it.
Sure.
And the only reason why some of us are not dealing with it now, because by the grace of God that we've learned the hard way for most of us. But give us a blueprint, so to speak, and an outline, and walk us through some steps of that we can take to start to come out of our shell. Because you said that we had that fear of us being seen as less than men, being vulnerable and appearing weak. But so we have to get over that, because obviously if God is holding us accountable to how we love our wives and they're our helpmeet, we need to be able to talk to them. Get us started, and what steps do we need to take in order to do that? And if there's anyone in particular that you mentioned that I want to go a little bit deeper in, I hope you don't mind, I would like to probably park it there and go a little bit deeper. But if you right now were counseling us, you and your wife talking to us about this issue, where would you tell us to start? Because, you know, with men, we like to start with baby steps first because we want to succeed at what we're doing. Go ahead from there and tell us where would we start.
All right. This is going to be difficult because the place to start is one of the areas where I didn't mention that men really don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And that just has to do with their spirituality. And I'd say this is a place to start because any other strategy I give is a plan B.
Right.
Right. And plan B is great. We need plan B, the strategies, but plan A gives the power to plan B. And plan A is just a, you know, just a vibrant relationship with Christ. So what does that look like? So here's this first thing, the first place to start is, especially if a man has not seen what it looks like to be a man, or there wasn't a father in the house, I think just really starting to understand and that God is our Heavenly Father, and that He's not looking at us through performance lens that we look at ourselves through, and that the world looks at us through. Mm-hmm. He looks at us through the lens of what Jesus has done for us. And you know, it's interesting because I'm telling you this and to the other men, and I'm checking myself right now, because part of the reason why I'm struggling right now is, you know, it's very easy for me to project upon my Heavenly Father my view of myself, right, and how I think He looks at me, which is contrary to what He said how He looks at me. Mm-hmm. But I think the first step is just understanding that our Heavenly Father loves us. God loves us, and He loves us because of what Jesus has done, not because of our net worth, not because of our achievements or any of that stuff, how smart we are, how great we are. And I mean, none of that stuff is why He cares for us. He cares for us because He wants to, and because Jesus died for us.
Now, Kevin, how does that play itself out and look, talking to our wives about our spirituality? Because I agree with you. And if you were going to start talking to Cecilia about this, because you want her to see your heart, and because a lot of times when we talk about our spirituality, it kind of reveals to the other person how we see God seeing us. I always tell men all the time, I say, if you really want to know the heart of a man and his level of maturity, I said, ask him, what does he think God thinks of him when he's blown it big time? And that typically kind of exposes, because it's not the truth, typically, right. Typically in most cases, but it's usually a misconception or misperception of what the Father really sees. So if I'm going to talk to my wife about my spirituality, how would you go about doing that?
This is how I would do it. Usually I'm telling this to women, but since this is women, I'll just right. Get the opposite. And I'd say, gosh, 8 out of 10 cases that we've seen over the years, the women are more spiritually mature than the men.
Right, right.
If that's the case, so be it. So here's what I would say to the husband. Go to your wife, and she already knows that you're not as spiritually mature as her.
Right, she's not surprised by it, right?
Yeah. Hopefully she's not, like, whipping you with that and holding that against you.
Right.
And so you kind of have to go to her with your hat in your hand and say, I need help. I want to grow spiritually. Can you help me? And usually I'm saying to the wives, you ask your husband how you can help him, because it takes some of the pressure off him. And so us going to our wives and saying, can you help me? You know, we've got to humble ourselves, but that's the first part of anything spiritual anyway. You can't come in there, I've got this all together and I'm running the show. It's just a thing of humility. But that's what I would say to a man. And I've even asked Cecilia this in times past for different things. Can you help me? Cecilia is like a prayer warrior for days. And it's like her praying compared to mine, she's like Goliath. And I'm like David. And so I'm like, can you help me with this? And I think being bold enough and feeling free enough to admit I need help, then at least if this makes any sense, I'm still kind of in control at that point, because
right,
I asked for your help instead of you lording over me saying, hey, I want to help you. It's like, I didn't ask you to help me.
That's good. I love that, man. See, you said that you primarily talk to women, because I can see now why you would approach women and say, hey, talk to your husband, ask him that question, because he may be too afraid to do it. But I love what you just said. But if he takes the initiative, even though he's a little bit afraid, that it shows that he actually is being a spiritual leader, because he's taking the initiative to do something. And I think the ironic part about all of this is that what keeps us a lot from sharing with our wives is fear, and the fear of appearing weak. But it's when we're at our most humble that we really are being the strongest.
Right.
And that's where you're saying start from a standpoint of humility. Now, you mentioned the area to start with would be spirituality. what would be the next thing that you would suggest when it comes to being able to build intimacy with our wife by sharing our hearts and our struggles with them? Where would you start after spirituality?
All right. And just before I answer that, let me tell this, draw this distinction very quickly. There's a difference between being the spiritual lead of your home and being the most spiritually mature person in your home.
Amen. Say that again. Repeat that again. I love that.
There's a difference between being the spiritual leader of your home and being the most spiritually mature person in your home. Chances are, husband, you may never become the most spiritually mature person in your home. And you know what? It is what it is. Okay. But you can still be the leader, and that's just initiation. And you asking your wife and getting your wife to help you as you lead spiritually. So the next place where I would go out to spirituality, and I'm just telling you things that I've walked through myself, it would be other men. And when I say other men, I'm talking about men who are going to help me do the right thing, not the wrong thing. And if I can just give you a quick story. So there was a coworker who I was attracted to several years ago. And I know me. I know that if I'm going to fall in some area in my life, it's not going to be with finances. I don't have any inclination to go and steal money or do any of that stuff. I mean, that's not me. It's probably not going to be in the area of abusing some substance. That's not my thing. If I fall, I know that it's going to be in an area where women are concerned. And so I didn't want to keep it in the dark that I was developing something in my heart with a coworker. I never told her about it, but I was like, all right, Kevin, you can't keep this secret. I started telling some other Christian guys who I knew were going to hold me accountable. I certainly didn't go and tell a non-Christian friend who would encourage me to pursue the relationship. I told someone who I knew would hold me accountable, yet love me, and not right. beat me up for having a normal feeling.
Right. And Kevin, now here's a tough question, because I know the men can't wait to get the answer to this, because what you're saying is not atypical. It is typical that we're going to struggle. We're definitely probably going to struggle in the area of women being tempted by women. But here's the tough question. You knew eventually, obviously you wouldn't be sharing this if you didn't talk to Satilia about this. You wouldn't be sharing this with thousands and thousands of men all over the country. So how do you have a conversation with your wife about you being attracted to another woman? That seems to be talking about a fear factor. You know, do you share it and then duck? How do you go about sharing that without stripping her self-esteem or causing her undue fear?
That's a great question, Joe. So here's what I'll say. First of all, I would not have this conversation with my wife without telling some other men and getting some counsel and wisdom from them. And then here's the thing also. If you find yourself attracted to somebody, I don't think every single time you're attracted to somebody, you've got to share that with your wife. Otherwise, holy cow. I mean, that'd be the dinner conversation every
night.
There are a million beautiful women out there.
Yeah.
I told my wife, I still remember the night I told her, we were standing in our garage. I told her because I knew that I want Satilia to be my chief accountability officer, and Satilia is my best friend. And I knew that I just felt like I was keeping something in my heart from her, and it was causing our relationship not to grow. And so when I told her, I mean, fortunately for me, I had not done anything with this coworker, and I hadn't ever told any coworker anything. So fortunately for me, it was just, listen, I'm attracted to her. And I told Satilia it hurt her. And, of course, Satilia told me this immediately. She felt like, what am I doing wrong?
Right.
Satilia will tell you, like, we were having plenty of sex. It was good. We thought our marriage was in a really good place. Mm-hmm. What am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. So I had to tell her, even though I don't think she believed me, it's nothing that you've done. It's me. But here's what we did find. Is that just the camaraderie that I had with the coworker. I mean, that's where I spent 70% of my work week. And so we were on the same team. And so we were having more shared experiences, ups and downs, more so than I was with Satilia. And that's what tends to fuel these attractions anyway. We're spending more time with somebody else, and there's a bonding that's taking place, a shared experience that we may not be having with our mate.
You know, and that makes perfect sense. And as we're talking about this happened to be women, you can kind of pull that out and put in any other issue that men are struggling with that we can talk to our wives about. Some are going to be a little bit more touchy than others and make us a little bit more fearful, but it still is the same process. And what I'm hearing here, and you correct me, Kevin, is you start by talking to men who are spiritually more mature than you and getting wise counsel. And we know that there is wisdom in wise counsel. The Bible tells us that before and showing you how to approach your wife. And the kind of common thing I'm already hearing before we even go into any other issues is that it all starts with a place of humility, of saying, I don't know, I need help. Will you help me? Whether it's starting with your wife or with another brother. And God said that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And God will give you the grace and the mercy to do that and follow through. Right. Because I'm sure after the initial impact that made on Satilia, she probably really appreciated later on that you would come to her to share that with her. She probably not gonna feel that in the moment.
Sure.
And like you said, she's looking at herself, but at the same time, she realized that, wow, he must really trust me to come tell me this.
Right. And she told you that now. I mean, gosh, when I first told her, it's just kind of like, holy cow. I mean, am I going to get to like the Al Green treatment? But see, I also tell men this. I mean, men, don't be stupid. Just because I have that type of relationship with my wife and I've learned my wife what I can tell her, what I can't tell her.
Right.
You know, don't be this hero and run up there and say, hey, guess what, babe? I'm attracted to so-and-so because you may get shot, whereas my wife got quiet. And so, you know, this part of this goes into the whole 1 Peter 3 thing. You live with your wife according to knowledge. You need to understand your wife and what she can take and what she can't take. I mean, even Jesus did this. Jesus told his disciples, there's a whole lot I want to tell you, but you can't handle it all right now. And that goes back to the whole Jack Nicholson thing. You can't handle the truth. You've got to know your wife and what she can handle and what she can't handle. It doesn't mean that you are purposely keeping a secret. You need to tell somebody. Because even if you're not telling your wife, if you don't tell somebody, then the chances are you're going to like find yourself falling into some type of sin, no matter what area it's in.
Yeah, I often say that if you're not able to share it, those secret struggles and scars, if you can't even talk about it, that means that you're hiding. That means that you're hiding. I said, but if you can talk about it, it may not even be to your wife, but you can talk about it, but you get emotional about it. I said, that's okay. That just means that you're hurting. I said, but if you can talk about it and help other people through it, then that means you are healing. And I say, I know it seems impossible, but if you ever talk about it, like what you're doing right now, sharing it with me, and you can laugh about it, that means you're healed from it. And so I love how you've gone through that process with Satilia and talking about those steps. And you're absolutely right, Kevin, I'm glad you mentioned that you can't approach every wife the same way. You have to know your wife. Now, I want you now to correct me or challenge me and make sure I'm not doing it wrong, because I'm looking at you as the expert on this. Typically, when I have to share something that's very tough with my wife, because my wife and I, we share a lot of stuff, and I try not to keep any secrets from her whatsoever. But you're right. I know my wife, and my wife is like a G.I. Jane kind of person. She's ex-military, ex-law enforcement, martial artist, everything. So she can actually fight. So I got to be very careful. But and you tell me if I know, is this part of how you suggest men do it? I tend to go talk to her when I'm dealing with an issue or struggle, not about the actual struggle itself. Like, let's say, for instance, the attraction to a woman, because we know that's not really the problem. There's a deep rooted issue where there's something missing. So I tend to talk about the thing that I'm struggling with, the void that I feel that is that I'm trying to fill in an artificial way that I'm not going to Christ and surrendering to Christ about. And so I may start, my wife said, baby, I need to talk to you. I said, I really need you to pray for me. I said, something is wrong with me right now. I said, right now I'm getting easily discouraged or I'm getting easily irritated and angry. And I'm seeing it manifest itself in behaviors that I don't like about myself. And then I would share, whether it be, another woman caught my attention or something like that. Am I beating around the bush too? Or is that a good way or a bad way to approach? I'm always starting from where I'm struggling the most. And then I share the behavior that may actually hurt her or she may take personally. But I want her to know that it's coming from a vulnerable state. So I'm kind of making myself exposed a little bit. Do you suggest that, or is there a better way of handling that? What do you think?
No, I think that's good, particularly if there's a husband listening who says, holy cow, I cannot tell my wife about this behavior, or I'm afraid to tell my wife about this behavior.
Right.
Then dealing with where there seems to be a void is very wise and very safe. Uh-huh. It's like, you know what? I'm feeling disconnected from you right now. I'll just take an example. I'm feeling like we're disconnected.
Right. Right.
And if she engages in that conversation and we figure some stuff out there, mm-hmm. I may not even need to bring up the fact I'm feeling disconnected from you, but man, I'm feeling really connected to so-and-so.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, yeah.
The way you're doing it, it's kind of like leading with this and then bringing this in. But depending on how well you lead with how you're feeling, mm-hmm. you may not even need to bring in the other part. And since you can talk about your wife with it, that's great. But for somebody else, they may just want to do the first part of what you said.
But, Kevin, you know, wow, thank you, God, for the revelation. Because what you're also sharing with us as men, and I'm hoping I'm not putting words in your mouth, is that since we struggle with sharing with our wives so much, could we keep thinking, oh, the porn or the drinking or the boys or the women or whatever it may be. But we're afraid to talk about that. But if we focus on and being brave enough and courageous enough to talk about the area where we're really struggling, being disconnected, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling insecure, and where we think that's kind of weak, it prevents the other stuff that you may not even have to, because like you said, how she receives us, we may not even get to the act or the thing that she's going to probably focus on more so than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, right. But we know women, they're also inclined to say, wow, they'd be nurturers, that they may be inclined to want to help you in that area and say, okay, what can we do? So I'm glad that I didn't see it that way, but I'm glad that you brought that up, that we may not even get to the point that, oh, it was attraction at the office. And you don't think that's being deceitful, not talking about that, do you? It's 'cause that's just the fruit of the root, you know? So if you never get around to that, is that being dishonest to her? What do you think about that?
Once again, I think it depends on the wife. I don't think it's dishonest. I think it becomes dishonest when you are engaging in these behaviors, like, I think, repeatedly.
Right.
And maybe you're hiding them or you're lying about them. Mm-hmm. I think that's when you're deceiving. But I think if talking about the feelings, it's a good place to start. And I think even if you find that and talking about the feelings and your wife's engaging you in that conversation, but it's still not changing the behaviors, mm-hmm. that's where you might need to go ahead and talk about the behaviors. And I'm trying to look back and see, like I've told Tatilia at one point, I mean, I never got caught looking porn. I told my wife, or looking at porn. She never called me. I told her that I was looking at it. And once again, a man look at me and are like, dude, you were just like a glutton for punishment. Mm-hmm. But the reason I told her is because I was scared. I was scared that if she didn't know and she wasn't helping me. See, the way Satillian and my relationship is, she helps me. And she will tell you that her job is to help me. She takes that whole thing in Genesis about being this help fit for him. She takes that helper part very seriously and very literally. And so I know that I've got to get teammate. And she's going to help me.
Right.
There are some other men watching this, and your wife's not going to help you the way my wife's going to help me. And so you may not want to be as exposing of yourself at first like I am, because you may wind up getting hit or worse.
You know,
so you got to know your wife.
And we're going to talk about that briefly too. But I love what you just said, because people often ask me, what did I learn from the failure of my first marriage? And it was 16 years, and it was my fault. And I said, one of the biggest things that I learned was not to keep secrets. And so I think you're right when it comes to how do we know that we're not being deceptive or being dishonest with our wives if we don't tell them, quote, everything. I think if you have to, and it goes back to that continuum, if we have to hide our behavior and we're not sharing it with another brother, then it is being deceitful and dishonest. But if we are talking to a spiritually more mature brother about it, and they're counseling us and getting us help with it, then, like you said, you can kind of ask God for discernment whether or not to continue to share more with your wife, because you're dealing and confronting the issue. And I want to ask you some specific questions about certain types of men or certain types of struggle that men have. But I wanted to share something I wrote in my notes as you were talking. Kevin, you mentioned this thing about sharing feelings, and I keep thinking in my mind's eye that whenever a man hears the word feelings, he starts squirming. You know, oh, I got to talk about my feelings. I don't like talking about my feelings. But what I wrote down here, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and this is what I'm summarizing, getting from you on this, is if we as men are able to talk about our feelings, one, we can avoid fights. Two, we can avoid a lot of frustration in our relationships, in our marriage. And I put this other one in there. We can also get rid of and eliminate the fear that we're walking in. Because if you're not sharing those about your attraction to porn or to something else, you're constantly walking around in fear that somebody's going to find you out.
Yeah.
But if you're able to talk about the feelings that are driving you to porn, because it's not the porn, it's not the women, it's not whatever, it's the feelings that you're going through that of inadequacy or something, a void there. If you could talk about that, you won't have to walk in fear anymore, because I'm sure you lost that fear after you talked to Satilia about your struggles. And then you'd have to deal with the frustrations of, baby, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What are you thinking about? Because we hate that question. What are you thinking about? And which also prevents you guys from having a lot of fights. Am I summarizing that correctly? Is if there's a benefit to talking about our feelings, those are some of those benefits?
Yeah, those are definitely. And I love that one about eliminating fear. And I think maybe part of the reason we don't talk about our feelings is because, crap, we don't even fully understand.
Yeah, yeah.
What we're feeling, and I thought about this. I went to Disney Institute several years ago, and they took us through this exercise called Five Whys. And the Five Whys is all about, so you've got this statement, and you ask why. And this is something I teach, work with couples with a lot. Just asking why five times to get to the bottom line. And so I'll just start with this one.
Sure.
I'm attracted to my coworker. Why? Because she's pretty and we have good conversation. Mm-hmm. Why do you have good conversation? So there's a second one. We have good conversation because we have common things to talk about. I mean, we're talking about stuff that we've experienced together.
Right.
Well, why? Well, because we work closely with one another. And you can ask why five times to get to the bottom of anything. And maybe that's a way to get to that piece that you're actually sharing with your mate. So you start here with the behavior, ask why five times, and you finally get to the root of, this is what I really need. Mm-hmm. This is the problem. This is right here is what I really need to share. And if I can share this with my wife, then maybe all the rest of the stuff kind of gets taken care of. Does that make sense at all?
Oh, that makes perfect sense. And I love that. I'm gonna start trying that. you know who's great at that? Children.
Yeah,
children are great at that.
Yeah.
And it kind of irritates us a lot of times, but we should be able to ask that of ourselves to kind of get to the root, because a lot of times we just want to deal with the fruit of the problem. And there's a deeper meaning at the core. And I think that's a great way to get there. Now, before we transition to the man up questions, which are infamous man up questions, I want to ask you about specific men out there and what you would say to them. These are the men who they hear what you're saying right now, Kevin, and they believe that, yeah, you're right, Kevin. We need to be sharing. I need to be sharing with my wife and building more intimacy because it draws us closer together. But you just don't understand. You or Joe, you guys don't understand. I've been rejected. I've been abandoned. I've been hurt. I've been disrespected. I've even been betrayed. And not only by other men, by other women. And so that's preventing me from making myself vulnerable again. So to the hurting man, I'm going to put it all under the umbrella of the hurting man, because I would assume probably the same solution would apply to this guy. But the hurting man who's gone through hell, so to speak, and doesn't want to trust again, not even his wife, even though he thinks and believes his wife won't hurt him. And maybe she has in the past too, so she's part of the problem. What do you share with him to get him past that hurdle? Because we know that if he doesn't share, he's going to die spiritually. So what do you say to men like that who come to you broken already? I'm not talking about spiritually broken. I'm talking about just broken emotionally. And they're afraid to get help and to share with their wives. What do you say to them?
Yeah, I see this. So in the most friendly and convincing way I can, I really try to get these men to understand that the longer you hold this in and the longer you are this trustful, it's going to make it worse. And I am a huge proponent of encouraging men to go to counseling. And I know that, you know, the man's coming and he's saying, look, I just told you I don't trust anybody, and why am I going to go to a counselor, right? And so what I do is I partially share with them my own story. And if they won't go to a counselor, then I try to help them myself by just getting them to, you know, it's very tough. And I can really sympathize with those men. It's really tough being in a place where you feel like you can't trust anybody and where you've been betrayed over and over. And I'll ask them just point blank, what's your alternative?
Yeah.
I mean, what else is there? If you're, people don't change until they are hurting too badly to stay in the situation they're in. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, there are some men I say, well, when you reach a point of pain where you are and it's too bad, come back to me. But until then, there's almost nothing I can say. If you know you need help, but you're not willing to go out and get help, or just talk to somebody else you trust, or a counselor, somebody who doesn't know you, somebody who is going to treat you like they've never seen you. It's kind of hard to talk to men like that. I don't know if I gave you the best answer, but it's difficult.
You know, it is a difficult situation because you and I can both relate to this because we deal with working with a lot of men. And as you're saying that, my spirit is stirring because it is a tough thing to do because you want so much for that man to get the help and the healing that he needs, but God is only going to heal what he reveals. And if he's not willing to humble himself, there's that word again, humble himself and say, wow, I need help. And what came up in me, and I don't know if you've tried this before, Kevin, but my thing is, because I've been there, I'm that man. I used to be that man who's been betrayed, abandoned, abused by primarily men, and was abandoned by women as well, some women. And that was an issue for me. But I've often told guys that try to look for the God in the person because God tells us to come to him because he says that those who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And we know that we can find rest in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ has also given us the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit lives in us. Look for that Holy Spirit in certain people. And I hate to say this, and I know, you know, well, women shouldn't be listening to our show anyway, but they're going to be mad. If you don't see Christ in your wife, she may not be the one to be talking to. Right. But you got to find somebody. I said, you can't trust everybody, but you're going to have to trust somebody because it's going to get worse. And I love what you said, that what's your alternative? To suffer in silence and continue to hurt and then turn around and hurt other people? And I often try to convict men when I tell them this. I say, you show me somebody who doesn't trust anybody, I show you a person who can't be trusted.
Wow.
And I really want men to think about that, to really think about that. Joe, you just don't understand. I can't trust anybody because I've been hurt. Then I got to tell you, dude, I'm afraid to trust you if you can't trust anybody. And so I've had to learn to look for the God in people in order to build that trust. And so I agree with you that if you don't get, and I always push men towards counseling as well. And the thing about counseling, I know people say, well, I'm afraid. The thing about counseling, they're not emotionally attached to you.
Right.
So that can be a place. Now, to me, that's a good place to go because they're not going to judge you or condemn you. And they're a licensed practitioner. And if you build rapport with them, to me, that's a safe place to share. Now, I didn't think that years ago until I had a counselor. I'm like, wow, they're not bad people. So that is good. But we're down to running out a little bit on time. And this has been a great discussion, Kevin. But I want to get to the man up questions because we're going to put you on the hot seat for a little bit. So in the man up questions are five basic questions. And these are quick questions, starting with the letters M-A-N-U-P. And they just require your fearless honesty, which you're not going to have a problem with. And we're going to get some insight into your personal life. So the question is, Kevin, are you ready?
Start and roll.
All right. And we'll be right back after this short break.
If you're like most men in our audience, you're committed to becoming the man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be. But the truth of the matter is, you struggle with either finding the time or knowing where to start. That's exactly why I created the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint. to give you a step-by-step, easy-to-follow guide to spiritually leading your family, even if you're a new believer. Now, you can't buy the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, but you can get it for free by signing up for our free e-newsletter. By signing up, you will be notified anytime fresh content is added to my site, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date on the latest information. Now, to get your free copy of the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, just visit realmenconnect.com and simply enter your name and email address on the form on the page. So if you're tired of trying to figure it all out and fit it all in as the spiritual leader, provider, and protector of your family, don't miss your chance to discover how to be the man God called and created you to be. Sign up today at realmenconnect.com.
Welcome back, guys. We're back with Kevin Bullard, and he's ready for the man up questions. And he's been talking to us today about talking to our wives about our struggles and sharing. And he's given us a lot of great information. But now we're going to put him under the microscope, so to speak. And Kevin, we're going to start with the first letter. And the first letter is M, and it stands for mistake. Now, I want to know from you personally as a man, what mistake did you learn the most from as a man?
This is a mistake I am still learning from.
Okay.
Just not speaking up, not being an audible leader. My wife and my children are looking at me to lead. And even when I feel insecure about the way we should be going, that doesn't stop them from looking at me. And right. So I've got to speak up and lead. And that's a mistake I've made and one that I'm still trying to avoid as I lead.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Okay. Now the A, and I've heard a lot of men talk about that as well. Is that, you know, it goes back to what you said earlier, Kevin, which I love about you said there's a difference between being a spiritual leader and being spiritually mature, being the most spiritually mature person. And the thing is, we can't get rid of the responsibility as spiritual leader, even if we're less mature spiritually than our wives. And so I think that kind of goes in line with what you said. So we must speak up, even if we don't have as, quote, as much maturity as our wives do. So I'm glad you. So that makes perfect sense. Now, the A represents attitude. If you could change one attitude in the men and the husbands that you work with, what would it be? Based on your personal experience and what you've seen, what attitude would you change in men?
It would be this one, that you are what you produce. I just think that's a fallacy, and it's one that I fall into myself. So it would be an attitude I'd change in myself as a man, that I am what I produce, and whether good or bad.
Right, right, right. Okay, now the N stands for next. What's the next big thing that you would attempt to do for God in ministry if you couldn't fail?
I would host free marriage conferences all over the country.
All right.
And bring couples in who desperately need the help but may not be able to afford another conference.
And I can tell you, we're not in a shortage of that because, I mean, we have a lot of people who are struggling in their marriages, and a lot of them are either too afraid to get the help that they need or they don't know where to turn to. So I would love to see that vision fulfilled. Now, the U stands for understand. When you were a younger man, Kevin, what was the one thing you didn't understand about being a man that you understand better today?
The thing I didn't understand was that I didn't have to do it all, be it all. I saw my dad do so many things. I guess this kind of falls into like domestic roles, where my dad did this, my dad did that, my dad did that. And I grew up thinking, well, he was the man, and he did it, and I'm the man, I have to do that.
Right, right.
We do the things that we're best skilled to do and can where we offer the most.
Right. You know, I sometimes feel bad for my son a lot of times. We're pretty close, but he, even though as much as I tell him, you don't have to be me. I can tell him that, but he still believes if my dad did this, I should be doing that.
Sure.
Or if my dad achieved that, I should be achieving that. And I feel for him because he shouldn't put that kind of pressure on himself. But I can see that. So I'm hoping that he'll listen to this episode and he can hear you say that about your dad. So I'm glad you mentioned that as well. Now, here's the last one. The letter is P, and it stands for problem. And even as a great man of God that you are right now, Kevin, and you've been through a lot and you've grown a lot and now you're helping people get through. What problem do you still struggle with even as a man today?
Well, I still struggle with as a man. Gosh, I'm trying to pick one. There's like a ton of them. It would be this one. Just not seizing up and becoming paralyzed when my back is up against a wall, when the pressure's on, just crapping out and saying, oh, this is too much. I can't handle it.
Right. And thank you so much, Kevin, for sharing that, for your honesty and your vulnerability, because we're talking about men talking to their wives about tough issues. And it's got to be tough for the guests when they come on here to talk about some of their own issues, especially at the end of the show. So I really appreciate that. And men, we've come to the end of our show today, but don't you worry, we'll be back to do it all over again with a new guest, with new insights and new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. And I'd like to thank my guest today, Kevin Bullard, for joining us today and for being so gracious with his time. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
You're welcome, Joe. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, Kevin, quickly for us, if our listeners wanted to find out more about you and your ministry and what you and your wife are doing and working on, how could they get in contact with you?
Easiest way is to go to Facebook. We are at Marriage Works, so facebook.com/marriageworks. Second easiest, marriageworks.us. Again, marriageworks.us. You can join almost 500,000 other folks who are following us on Facebook and other forms of social media.
Fantastic. And we'll make sure we put that in the show notes as well, so they'll be able to connect with you. And to all of you guys out there listening, please do us a huge favor. This is so important. Take about 30 seconds. That's all, about 30 seconds. And go over to iTunes and rate the program. It's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. Guys, we're now top rated as the top Christian men's podcast. And the only way we can stay there is if you continue to share this podcast with other men. So please don't keep us a secret. Until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man of God that He's called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in His grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.